think about all your problems, all your predicaments, all the things going on maybe in your life. But then just think about, God loves me. He really loves me. He loves me like I was his only child. Praise the Lord. John understood that, I believe, at least somewhat, when he said five times, described himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. If you go with me this morning to Exodus chapter number 14, Exodus chapter number 14, I have been, Exodus chapter number 14. Around this, multiple times during the past few weeks, not really thinking about or meaning to, I just think that this is what the Lord has had on my heart really for a couple months now. I know that, and really gave me what I'm going to give you today, or at least the thought for it, probably 3 months ago. We were thinking about the theme and what the Lord would have us to do. But anyway, it's been amazing. I was looking back a little bit, and in one way or another, we've kind of preached all around this over the last month or so. But anyway, we're going to hit it right in the center today. And so in Exodus chapter 14, and let's go ahead and start reading in verse number 10 of Exodus chapter 14. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. They were sore afraid. The children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people of the Lord, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." Father, in Jesus' name this morning, we recognize and realize our need of you. Father, we ask you this morning that you would roam the aisles, and Lord, in the hearts of the men and women, the boys and girls, or those that would be under the sound of my voice, that Lord, you would help us before we leave today, that when we do leave, we would not only leave challenged, but God, help us to leave changed with a new perspective, a new mindset upon this life. Lord, I pray that you cleanse me of all of me, empty me of all of self, and fill me with all of you. Pray you'd hide me behind the cross of Jesus Christ, that Lord, it would not be me but all of you, be it my stammering lips of clay. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. I read an article recently that maybe some of you woodsy guys have read and looked at or known some of these statistics. But I read an article recently that was kind of interesting that claimed that 2,000 people end up lost and wandering every year in America's wilderness. Many of these people never, ever make it out alive. The article talked about how so many people were unprepared for the wilderness and how just a few key tips could have saved the life of those that passed away. They just knew a few survival skills. I want to draw your attention back to verse number 3. We didn't read it, but I want to read it now. Then we'll read verse number 10. Verse 3 says, "And Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land." Watch what it says. "The wilderness hath shut them in." Verse number 10, the Bible says this. "When Pharaoh drew nigh, The children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. They were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Watch verse 11. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? I want to preach this morning on this thought, keys to surviving the wilderness. Keys to surviving the wilderness. Over the past year or so, all across this country, a myriad of people, young and old, rich and poor, educated, uneducated, people who were saved and people who are lost, Christians and non-Christians alike, have found themselves in one way or another in a wilderness, in a place of dryness, in a place of deadness, in a place of danger and despair. And I'm afraid many of them have not and will not make it out alive. And I'm speaking mainly spiritually. In fact, a wilderness is described in Webster's dictionary as a place uncultivated and inhospitable. The wilderness is a place that will not only kill you physically, but will also certainly kill you spiritually. But thank God this morning we have the Word of God. Amen. And I'm glad this morning that the same God that left us here, saved us, and then left us here, gives us instructions. And He gives us an instruction manual. I hope you have one this morning. I hope you look at it often. It's the Word of God. And in that instruction manual, I want you to understand that God gives us some key things, some key tips to surviving the wilderness. So we begin to look at these this morning. I'm going to focus primarily on the last, but I want to give you two before that. Number one, if you're going to survive the wilderness, keep calm. Keep calm. Notice verse number 13. The Bible says, and Moses said unto the people, watch this, fear ye not. Fear ye not. Can I say I've spent the last year really just trying to keep God's people from living and from dwelling and from cowering in fear? That's really been the gist of what I've been trying to do. I've tried to constantly remind you of the power of God. I've tried to constantly remind you of the promises of God. I've tried to continually keep in the forefront of your mind the faithfulness of God, that if God has been faithful before, God will be faithful now. Amen? We've tried to encourage you to put your faith in the Word, not in man, not in media, but in the Word of God. Fear, I want to tell you, will keep you from God's best for your life. Oh, it absolutely will. The devil knows that too, by the way. God says here in verse number 13, fear not. I want you to picture the scene for a moment. Here's God's people. They're confronted by a raging sea in front of them. I mean, it was deep, man, this raging sea in front of them. They were also confronted by a raging army that was pursuing them, coming up behind them, Pharaoh's army, thousands and thousands of soldiers and horsemen, the Bible says, and chariots were all marching toward them, and they're pinned in to the land, it says in verse number 10. Here they stand. There's no place to flee. They're hemmed in. We wonder, how could they not fear? And I want to say to an average everyday person, a terrifying fear would be a normal reaction to facing something that was so impossible, a situation that was so impossible. But there's God's message in the midst of it all. Oh, there's Moses crying out, fear not, fear not, fear not. Listen to me, fear will cripple you. Moses knew that. We need to know that. If you don't move, you're going to die. One of the worst things that anybody can do is seize up, freeze up, stop living. Even when fear is not physically destructive to our life, it adds burdens to our life. Just all the agonizing emotions that go through our mind is hard enough on us. When you live with a shadow of fear always surrounding you, don't you understand? It greatly hinders your life. It prevents you from doing the things that you should do, and it prevents you from doing those things you need to do and ought to do. We were watching a movie the other night. We've seen multiple times, but you know, it was an oldie and a goodie. It was Facing the Giants. We're watching that movie, and there's that scene where Mark Richt, the old Georgia football coach, it's at the end of the movie, and he's coming into the locker room. There, the Shiloh Eagles are fixing to play the great championship game. They shouldn't be there. They're playing the Richland Giants, which is much larger than they are. And he comes into the locker room. Mark Richt comes in there. He wants to encourage the high school football coach who, I guess, had played for him. And he says to him, you know, in that movie, he says to him, you know, the Bible says 365 times, do not fear. If he says it that many times, you know he means it. Even Emily caught the fact that she said, you know, that's one time every day. It's as if God is saying, every single day we wake up, fear not. Fear not. Every single day, the first thing out of his mouth that he says to you, fear not, fear not, fear not. Regardless of what's going on in our life, regardless of what's happening around the world, God says the same thing every single day, no matter what's happening. Why? Because he's the same God every day. Y'all with me? Listen, God doesn't want his children to live in fear. By the way, do you know who the author of fear is? It's not God. He's not given us a spirit of fear. Oh, it's the God of this world. It's the devil. God doesn't want his children to live in fear. One reason is because he loves us, but another reason is because it is an indictment against our Heavenly Father when we fear. It's as if that you and I are saying that God is either not able to take care of us or God is not willing to take care of us, and both of those statements are false. They are lies right out of the pit of hell. God is able and God is willing to take care of all of his children. The first thing God says when you find yourself in a wilderness this morning, the first thing he says when you find yourself in a tough spot, the first thing he says when you find yourself between a rock and a hard place, fear not. The first thing we got to do is get a grip on fear. I was reading that article. That article said this, Brother Phil. It said when you get lost out in the wilderness, not that you would ever get lost, but when you get lost out there in the wilderness, first thing you need to do is sit down and calm down. The way so many people end up dying is they panic. The way people die in drowning accidents many times, they could have swam to shore. Maybe many times, there have been times people could have even stood up where they are. But they panicked. Fear will kill you in the wilderness. Keep calm. Secondly, notice how to survive the wilderness. Keep committed. Verse number 13 again, notice the Bible says, Moses said to the people, fear ye not. Then notice his next instruction, stand still. Stand still. How hard it is sometimes to just simply stand still, especially when trouble and trials and things going on all around us and it seemed to be surrounding us, to just stay firm, to just stay steadfast, to just keep standing right there where we are and keep on keeping on. It's hard to do that and stay the course when trouble arises in our life and danger arises in our life. Listen, these Israelites, they were surrounded by the Red Sea on one side and Pharaoh's army on another side, and the wilderness is all on the other side. And in this situation like this, where danger was all around them, God says to them, stand still. Just stay committed. In other words, don't disappear. In other words, don't turn back. In other words, don't go into hiding. Can I tell you what happens when these people would get lost in the wilderness and they go into hiding? They're never found. I'm telling you that the keys to surviving the wilderness is we got to keep committed. We got to stay committed. Did you know, if these Israelites would have scattered, can you imagine They would not have been able to organize enough to march across that Red Sea. It's somewhere around 3.5 million people that marched across that Red Sea. That took an effort. If you got people scattered all over the place, can I tell you folks, watch this. Do you want to know why the reason the devil likes to keep us all tore up and all scattered, all away from each other, all torn apart? The reason he likes to keep up us in chaos is so we can't organize enough to be used mightily of God. We can't be organized enough to God perform a miracle in our life and in our church if he can keep us scattered. We got to stay the course. Regardless of what happens, we can't jump ship. We can't panic. We can't frantically scatter. Listen, we're going to have to be settled and just stand still. We're going to have to make up our mind that we're just going to believe God and we're just going to trust God and we're going to continue to stand in our place for God. By the way, when we forget God's promises, we always imagine the worst possible scenario. Notice your Bible. The Bible says here in verse number 11 and 12, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die? It's always immediately, everybody's going to die, right? This pandemic, everybody's dying. Everybody's dying. Because nobody will slow down and look at the facts that less than 0.5% of people are dying. Oh, you brought us out here to die. Look at verse 12. Is not this the word that we did tell? He said in verse 11, you must just brought us out here because there wasn't no graves, enough graves in Egypt. Verse 12, is not this the word we tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone. It had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Listen to me. When you and I forget the promises of God and forsake the promises of God, we always imagine the worst scenario. We get our eyes off Christ and we get our eyes on the world and the noises of the world and the things of the world, and we imagine the worst. Everybody's going to die. Can I tell you, 95% of the things that we worry about never ever happen. They will never happen. And when they do happen, they're almost never as bad as we thought they would be. These Israelites could think about and imagine, all they could think about is we're going to die. This is the end. By the way, we need to get something in our mind that death isn't all that bad. You see, we love this life too much. The Bible says, he that loveth his life shall lose it. He that keepeth his life, he that hateth his life shall keep it unto life eternal. What's it talking about, loving and hating your life? It's talking about those that hold on to this life with every single thing they got. You're going to lose it. You're going to have lived your life and wasted your life, living it for nothing. But the one who they're looking for the next life. Paul said, I'm in a strait betwixt. I have a desire to be here with you, but I have to be with Christ is far better. I mean, to live is Christ, to die is gain. We always start thinking of the worst. And by the way, and we listen to the news media, we listen to all this other stuff, and the devil takes that stuff and puts it in our mind and makes it that much worse. And he cripples and has crippled. Listen to me, Christians and churches and ministries, and people of God. And ultimately, it's crippling this country. These Israelites, oh, we're going to die. For the last year, the majority people in this country, because they were afraid, they failed to live. If that's life, they can have it. Crawling in a corner, if that's life, you can have it. God has something he wants me to do. Huge factor and testimony of our faith is when we can just stand still in the midst of our trouble. A true story, the true story is told of what we believe and who we believe. Will we just keep on keeping on despite the situation, not in one day and out the next, shutting the doors one day, opening them the next, coming to church one day, not the next, in and out, on and off. Listen, I'm telling you, the telltale sign of your faith, where it is and in who it is determined when you can just stand fast. In the midst of the trouble. I'm talking about the seas raging and the wind and the waves are falling down all around you and you can just stand your post. Stay still. Can I say this? It's in those moments that many times God reveals himself in the greatest of ways. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know that I'm God. This word still is from the Hebrew word rapha or rapha. It means to relax. It means to sink down like you would sink down and relax in your favorite chair. Listen, God doesn't want us running around in circles, fretting and wringing our hands. Oh, listen, that's what many of these people were doing here in our text, thinking they have to do something. Listen, I'm telling you, that's frustrating and it's foolish. He doesn't want us to panic, but to be still and to be calm. He wants us to stay committed to His Word. He wants us to stay committed to His will. He wants us to stay committed to His house. We just got to keep on keeping on. Listen, panic would mean certain death for God's people here. And God's man Moses here, had he not encouraged them to stay the course, they would have all died. Notice what he says next. Stand still, verse 13. Fear you not, stand still, then watch this, and see the salvation of the Lord. Watch this. You'll know why so many of us never see? Because we won't stand still. We run at the sight of any trouble. Stand still and see. What a wonderful promise. God says stand still and see. It's a promise that only those who are obedient to stand still will ever get to experience. God never forsakes those who trust in Him. In that article I was reading, it said this. Watch this. Don't miss this. It's amazing. I love the articles that'll preach. It said this. An article about how you survive the wilderness. The best chance. Hallelujah. The best chance of survival that you have is being rescued. Y'all didn't get it. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The best chance that you have of survival is being rescued. Aren't you glad, hallelujah, you and I have already been rescued. And let me tell you this, anything you've overcome and will overcome, it was God rescuing you again. Oh, yes. I want you to, and there's many that aren't here. There's several that aren't here, we'll say that. But just if you are, nobody's over here taking photos. Just quick, if you've had COVID this year, raise your hand. If you've had it this year. It's a lot of people. A lot of people. And yet you're sitting here this morning. Amen. You stood still. You remained steadfast. You didn't stop coming to church. You kept going on for God. And you know what? You got to see the salvation of the Lord. And can I tell you this? Whether you realize it or not, that did a whole lot more for you going through that and dealing through that and with that. That did a whole lot more for your faith than you never ever getting it. Because now God brought you through something. You got to watch God do something great in your life. Listen. We need to make up our mind in 2021, no matter what happens, regardless what comes our way, regardless what happens, we're going to stick and stay. We're going to not be swayed by the news media. We're going to not be swayed by the government. We're going to not be swayed by evil politicians that want to silence us and hinder us. Listen, none of it has any bearing on the promises of God. And we need to believe that and trust that and make up our mind that we're going to follow that. I'm going to tell you what we need more than anything else this morning. Listen to me, in 2021, January 2021, what we need more than anything else at Crossroads Baptist Church, we need some people that will have the resolve to simply stand still. Fear not, stand still. May God help us to have the resolve that Paul had when he said, what's this? Whether it be through life or death, he said this, that Christ might be magnified in my body. Whether it's through life or through death, our life's not our own. Our life is hidden Christ with God. Paul said that Christ might be, whether through life or death, in other words, the only thing that really matters is that I honor Christ. Can I tell you that can only happen if we stand? You're not magnifying Him by running and hiding. You're not magnifying Him by cowering in a corner. That's belittling Him. That's saying God's not able. God says stand still. And for the most part, we did that. Hallelujah. We did that by God's grace. We stood. We're still standing. We just continued in 2020, just kind of in maintenance mode, just trying to maintain what we had. But I want to tell you this, now there's something else God says we need to do. He said, keep calm, keep committed. Notice a third thing. Keep coming. Look at verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me, speak unto the children of Israel, watch this, that they, watch the two words, go forward. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. There's so much power in those two words that you can't even imagine. That if we don't get this right, if you don't get it right in your life, if I don't get it right in my life, if our church, as Crossroads Baptist Church, doesn't get this right, we're going to die in the wilderness. Keep calm, keep committed, and keep coming. First, God says, fear not. Then He says, stand still. Then He says, go forward. Can I tell you that's where we are? We're at the place. By the way, stand still and go forward. Do not contradict one another. One means stay committed where you are. But then there's that time that God says, go forward. And I'm telling you, as the pastor of Crossroads Baptist Church, this is that time. In Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, the Bible says to everything there is a season. It's a time to be born, a time to die. Everything, there's a season, a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast stones, and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. We've did all those. And He says there's a time to just calm down for a minute. Fear not. Stay steadfast. But then there's that time to go forward. Crossroads Baptist Church, it's time to go forward. 2020, we've done our best to stand still, but now God says, go forward. There are churches and pastors, listen to me, that are going to dwell on 2020 for years. Everybody's using it, man. Everybody's using it for an excuse, right? If businesses want to use it, they use it. If people want to use it, we've got it now. And what you're going to hear, pastors, for the next 2 and 3 and 4 years and church members alike, because they want to get off their blessed assurance and do something for God. Before, they're going to talk about the old days and what used to be and what God did once and what it was before the pandemic and, well, we used to run this many and we used to have this many and we used to yada, yada, yada. Hey, friend, none of that matters. God says go forward. Go forward. We're not living in the past. And there's going to be many that do. And they're going to talk about what it used to be. And, oh, if we just had these back. And they're going to spend their time wasting time on people that care nothing about being in the house of God or doing the work of God. And I'm simply saying they're going to sit around and talk about what used to be. By the way, there's still hundreds and thousands of churches across this country that aren't open. And I'm telling you, there's many that's going to focus on what they lost in the pandemic and going to spend the next several years living in the past and living in defeat and doing so, they're going to whittle down to nothing because they're looking behind them instead of looking in front of them. And God's saying to us this morning, every Christian, every church member, go forward. I've given you a brand new year. I've given you brand new opportunities. Go forward. Some people were complaining to, they visit a wise man that's complaining and about the same problems over and over. He complains and complains and same thing, same old story all the time. You know people like that. One day he decided to tell them a joke. They all roared with laughter. After a few minutes, he told them the same joke. Only a few of them smiled. Then he told them the same joke again the third time, and nobody laughed and smiled anymore. The wise man looked at these people who was always complaining. He said, you can't laugh at the same joke over and over. So why are you always crying about the same problem over and over? Can I tell you, 2020 is gone. We're not going to cry 2021 has just begun. We're not going to cry over spilled milk. We're not going to continue to live in the past. It's time to go forward. Something interesting to me. Did you know the Australian coat of arms? Now, I hope many of you know what the coat of arms is. Here in America, our coat of arms, it's that seal. You'll see it many times at the president's desk or the president's podium. It's got that eagle, got that American flag in the front, the wings coming down around the side. It's our seal. In other words, that coat of arms is representative of our country. The Australian coat of arms, very interesting. It has two animals. It pictures an emu, that's how you spell it, and it pictures the kangaroo. Those two animals were chosen because they share a common characteristic. You know what it is? Neither one of them can move backwards. Both of them are prevented from doing that. The emu's three-toed foot causes it to fall if it tries to go backwards. And the kangaroo's prevented from moving backwards because of its tail. Neither one of them, that's why they chose it. The picture of we're not going backwards, we're always going forward. Can I tell you, it's the same for a Christian. God did not equip us to go backwards. God did not equip us and create us to move backwards, but when God saved us, He put us on a new path, and that path had a one-way sign that said forward. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When God saved us, He set our feet on a brand new path, and He expects us to continue moving forward. You know what He told them in that parable? He said, occupy till I come. No, that means do business. Do business till I come. Keep on keeping on until I come. Oh, nowhere in this Bible will you find that God ever tells a child of God to retreat. But He always tells us to move forward. Philippians chapter number 3. I press toward the ball, said, forgetting those things which are behind, pressing forth to the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling, God in Christ Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run. Let us lay aside every weight and sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. Watch this. The race that is set behind us. Is that what it says? No, friend. Let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Speaks of moving forward. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, says, continue in prayer. And watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us. Why? That God would open unto us a door. We want to go forward in that door. Paul was in prison when he wrote that. But he wasn't crawling over in a corner somewhere. He wasn't backing up. He says, continue in prayer. Ask for an open door. He was still doing everything he could to move forward, to talk to more people, to serve God as much as possible. In verse number 4 and 5, it goes on and says this, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. And he says, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. In other words, it's not time to sit around. It's not time to waste time. Paul said, now is the time to get busy. Oh, now more than ever. Let me tell you what was wrong with the children of Israel here. It's that they made a change, but not a transition. They had left Egypt. They had made a change, but they didn't completely leave Egypt. You understand? What's wrong with so many of us is we got saved, God set us on a new path, and maybe we left some of the old life, some of the old ways, some of the old thinking, not trusting God, but we didn't fully leave it. And every time something comes in our life, we grab a hold of the old worries again. We grab a hold of the old way we used to live before we had God. And we're not moving in the right direction. It's not time to sit around. If we're not careful, every one of us will face an issue in life that'll cause us to stop and look around and cause us to stop and look back. And if we're not careful, start drifting back. Listen, no one stays where they are in their Christian life. Nobody. Nobody. You're either going forward or you're going backwards. There's no other way. by the way, there's a reason. You hear people talk about it all the time. Well, you know, they're just backslidden. Backslidden assumes that it's a position where they've stopped. But the problem with that notion is that you never find that in your Bible. That word backslid is not there. Backslidden is not there. I'll tell you what is there. Backsliding. When you look in your Bible, that's what you'll find is the word backsliding, because it's a continual thing. There's no place you stop. You're never standing still when you're Christian life. You're moving forward or you're moving backwards. That's all of us. Let me tell you what Jesus said to the impotent man after he healed him physically and spiritually. John 5:8, Jesus saith unto him, watch this, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. In other words, go forward. Go on. Keep moving. Luke 9:62, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. No man who started out on the path of life, eternal life with God, and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. That's what the Bible says. This is his response to a man who said, I'll follow you whithersoever you go. But he says, let me first go bury my father. In other words, let me first do some things here in the affairs of this life and the affairs of this world. Let me first of all take care of worldly things. Can I tell you, there's no room in the Christian's life to ever go backwards. When the Holy Spirit of God breathed life into you and put His Spirit in you at the moment of salvation, He puts you on an upward path, and we're to keep rowing and going until He comes back. Oh, the hymn writer said it best when he said, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. That's what God wants us to do. Notice what Job says. Man, this is deep. Job 17:9-10, he says, the righteous also shall hold on his way. In other words, stay on his way, continue to move forward. The righteous shall hold on his way. Keep moving forward, stay on the path. And he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. Why? By staying on the way. Now watch this. But as for you all, he says, do you return? And come now, for I cannot find one wise man among you. In other words, the wise man will continue on and keep on keeping on. The righteous man, the wise man, will move forward. But he says, there's not a wise person who would stop. There's not a wise person who would turn back. Isaiah 43:18-19. Remember ye not the former things of the former things, neither consider the things of old. In other words, don't live in the past. Behold, I will do a new thing now. He says, I'll do a new thing now. It shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness. And what's this? Talking about the wilderness. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He said, preacher, this stuff ain't over. We don't see this COVID stuff coming to an end. We don't see the social unrest coming to an end. We don't see the chaos coming to an end. The government's still trying to restrict us and restrict our worship. God says that we're not out of this wilderness, you say. God says, I'll even make a way in the wilderness. I'm going to give you rivers in the midst of this desert, he says. I'm going to continue to sustain you. I'm going to keep opening up the rivers of blessing for you in the midst of this discouraging, deserted season. That's what God says. Oh, he says to you and I this morning, Christian, I left you with a job to do. I left you with the ministry to continue. And nobody ever said it would be easy. And nobody ever said there wouldn't be problems. But I left you with my power, and I've given you my promises, and you have my presence. Now go forward. David Livingston, the great missionary, said this. He said, I'll go anywhere. As long as it's forward. I'll go anywhere as long as it's forward. We're not going back. We're not living in the past. Some of you this morning, the devil's had you at a standstill, maybe because of some sin in your life. Something that's been besetting in your life that's kept you at a standstill. Hey, friend, you can't reach what's in front of you till you let go of what's behind you. We can't hold on to those things. We've got to let them go. We got to put it under the blood of Christ. We got to confess it, and God will forgive it. Some of you this morning got to stand still because of fear. You are. You're still at a standstill in your life. You're not doing what God would have you to do. You're not being effective in this world. You're not sharing your testimony. You're not going on for others because of fear. At a standstill. Some are at a standstill because you've gotten complacent. And every one of you that I talk to, if you'd be honest, you would say to me, "Preacher, I'm going to be honest. This time has knocked me back a little. Being out of the house of God has knocked me back a little. It's not the same. I had maintained where I was." You become complacent because it's so easy to do. Heard a preacher just last night, his own testimony. He said, I guess they had services all online or something, I don't know, but he talked about watching a service online. He said, even himself, he'd just being honest, he said, I'd rather seen Gunsmoke than what I was watching on my iPad. He said it had my attention. I'm simply telling you that some people have become complacent and it's got you really maybe not even at a standstill, but you're going backwards. You've bought into this world's way of thinking, some of you have, and it's got you at a standstill. Being more concerned about the temple than the eternal, we need to ask ourselves as we continue on to make decisions in 2021, what really matters? What really matters? Because we're making decisions based on the temporal instead of making decisions based on the eternal. There's no way back for the people of God. There's only forward. That's all. They're up against a raging sea. It's standing in front of them. Pharaoh's army is barreling down behind them. The wilderness all around them on the other side, by the way. Have you ever wondered why God allowed Pharaoh's army to chase the Israelites to trap them up against the Red Sea? You ever wondered why? I'll tell you why. Because God knew their nature. He knows your nature. You want to know why sometimes there's nowhere for you to turn? You'll know why sometimes you have to be forced to do the right thing? Because God knows what you'll do otherwise if you have the choice. They're pinned in up against this Red Sea. They wanted to go back. Verse 12, is not this the word we did tell you? Just leave us alone. Let us keep serving the Egyptians. Let us stay in bondage. God never intended for His people to be in bondage. God never intended for His people to be snared and entrapped by the affairs of this earth and this life. There's no path of recourse. Listen to me. The reason that many times God allows us to be put in a tight spot, the reason that many times that He gives us no other option, nowhere to turn, is because God knows our frailty. He knows our fear. And God knows if we're given the chance, we're going to retreat. So He, for our best interest, pushes us forward, even if that means into the sea. What a tragedy it is when children of the King are willing to settle for the measly crumbs that this world provides simply because they're afraid to go forward with God. They're fine. They said, let's just stay in Egypt. We're getting fed, right? Everything's okay. I don't know about you, but I'm over the mundane. I'm tired of mediocrity. I'm sick of seeing what man can do. But friend, I'm going to tell you something. The only way that you'll ever see and will ever see what God can do is if we're willing to go forward in a raging sea with Him. They'd rather have the false sense of protection this world offers than the protection of Almighty God and His promises. So that tough spot that seems like we're between a rock and a hard place is God putting us in a position that despite the challenge and despite the difficulty, we somehow got to muster up the confidence to go forward in the sea of faith with the Lord. And that's the only way that we'll ever experience His miracles. I know it's nerve-wracking sometimes even a little scary, sometimes even a little dangerous, But if we're going to see the miracles of God and we're going to see a real manifestation of the Lord, well, we got to go forward. Now, I want you to understand, we talk about not looking back and not going back. It has nothing to do with not looking back at all God's done for that. We'll do that a little bit tonight. God wants us to always do that. But He doesn't want us to live in defeat. He doesn't want us to be defeated. He wants us to remain faithful to Him. We need to go forward with God. I want you to look. We don't have another year to squander. Notice with me, see the very end of this. There's so much more I could say, but I got to stop. Verse number 31. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. Now they saw it. They only saw it because they went in the sea. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. God knows the only way that you're going to have the faith you need to believe Him and trust Him with your life and whatever's coming. You think this was something? This is nothing. This is the tip of the iceberg, the top tip of it. Folks, I'm going to tell you, that's what scares me to death. The only thing that scares me is that God's people are not ready for what's coming. You hear me? We're not ready. And God's trying to make us ready. The Bible says that Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared not man, not the sea. The people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. Going through problems, going through pain, going through struggles and dealing with trials and trouble is only temporary. Listen, it will subside. It'll finally end. The Bible says that there was an end to this thing. But I want to tell you this, quitting in the middle of it lasts forever. Things don't come to stay, they come to pass. They'll end, but quitting will last forever. And I'm saying that God is using this and has used this to strengthen the faith of some people at Crossroads Baptist Church so we're ready to go forward and move forward trusting Him, knowing that if God did it before, God will do it again. You, listen, I saw hands on this building, and there's many that aren't here. The testimony of God's amazing grace in your life, what God has brought you through, what God's already seen you through, what He's brought your family through. Don't you ever doubt God. Don't you ever let some talking head tell you about how bad it's going to be. Yeah, it might for them, because they don't know God. Let it be known here in January the 3rd, 2021 at Crossroads Baptist Church, we're not living in the past. We're not remaining idle, but we intend to go forward. Go forward. We're not going to get sidelined and sidetracked by whatever happens next. And there's stuff going to happen next in a few days. It's going to happen. A few days. In the coming weeks, it's going to happen. But we're not going to be sidelined and sidetracked and affected with those things. But as the Church of the Living God, we're going to go forward. We're going to go forward with the gospel. We're going to go forward with a love for our community. We're going to go forward with teaching and training. Somebody said, you know you're on the right track when you become uninterested in looking back. Can I tell you this? I'm not interested in looking back. Not even for a moment. I'm not interested, listen, in reliving 2020 all over. I'm interested in moving forward and seeing what wonderful things God has for us. And I'm asking this morning, I hope we've got the place that we can stay calm. We've says, fear not. Hope we've seen 2020, we stood still. But I'm asking this morning, who will join hands with me in 2021 and go forward? You say, preacher, I've got sin. Leave it behind. Leave it right here on this altar. You say, preacher, I still have a little fear. Leave it right here on this altar. You say, preacher, I'm still anxious. Leave it right here on this altar. You say, I'm still a little wishy-washy in my faithfulness to God over the last couple months. God will forgive you. Leave it on this altar. Any reserves that are in your mind, anything that would trip you or hold you up, I say leave it behind. Let's pick up right here, right now, and start over, and let's go forward. Let's move forward. We need to stop living in the past and go forward in the will of God for our lives. Amen. While we stand for prayer, all around the building, I want you to come and ask God, tell God, commit to God, you're going to go forward. And then you ask God to come with you as you go while we sing this morning. Go forward.